The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the December flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Real Simple Magazine, Food Network Magazine, and an article from Perkins.org website, as well as OrCam.com website. So starting off, I am going to give you some tips. Blind cooking, kitchen tips for the visually impaired. Unless you order takeout for 3 meals a day, cooking is a necessary chore in daily life. However, the seemingly menial act of cooking can seem daunting to people with vision challenges. When it comes to blind cooking, there is danger in the high heat and flames involved, and it is easy to mess up a recipe by pouring in the wrong ingredient, or even too much of the right one. But while it may not be easy, it is certainly doable. Below, we offer you some valuable tips for cooking with visual impairment. Starting off, organization. An organized kitchen is a happy kitchen, no matter what your visual capabilities are. Make sure that every item has a place to belong so you know where to find it and when to replenish it. Spices on this shelf, oils on this one, etc. Group like items together and store items close to where you'll be using the item. Measuring cups are very useful to have handy for multiple purposes in blind cooking, not just for baking. Use them to scoop out different ingredients instead of pouring the food straight into the dish or bowl to minimize spills. Put liquids that you'll most often be measuring small amounts of, such as vanilla extract, into wide mouth containers. That way you won't have to pour liquid into a small spoon and can instead stick the measuring spoon straight into the container. Safety. Wear short sleeves or roll your sleeves above the elbow when working at the stove, and wear long high heat oven mitts to handle pots and pans. When it comes to baking, make sure the oven racks are positioned correctly before turning on the oven. When testing for doneness, use touch. Stick a toothpick into the batter and then feel if it comes out clean. To make cutting easier, use a white cutting board to contrast with brightly colored food and a dark cutting board to contrast with white foods like onions or parsnips. Always position the pan correctly on the burner before turning the stove on and turn off the flame before removing the pan. Another good idea when it comes to chopping vegetables is to use a vegetable chopper, where you can easily put in a piece of the vegetable and just press down to chop it. Preparation. If you have an OrCam MyEye, you can program it to remember all of your most commonly used products. Make it easier to find and identify food in your kitchen and grab the items you need with instant product identification and barcode reading. The OrCam MyEye is also great for reading recipes and cookbooks and even online from digital screens. While Braille cookbooks do exist, they are not very practical when it comes to getting your hands dirty in the kitchen. Not only can the OrCam MyEye read a recipe back to you instantaneously with just the point of a finger, using the new interactive reading feature, it can easily find all the measurements with just a spoken command. Now from the December issue of Food Network Magazine, to your health. Here's what's extra good for you. Pretty as a pomegranate. This ruby red beauty can keep you looking your best. Pomegranates are full of vitamin C, which is important for healthy skin. Use pomegranate seeds to dress up a cheese ball or throw a handful into a salad. Milk it. Consuming 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day could help prevent kidney stones, and you'll get almost half of that from 16 ounces of whole milk. The spice is right. Add a little extra cinnamon to gingerbread cupcakes. It's good for your heart. Studies show that the spice can help protect your body from cardiovascular disease. Plus, it's a powerful anti-inflammatory. Let's get together. Here's another reason to spend time with friends and family this holiday season. New research links daily social visits with a reduced risk of dementia. Planning a winter vacation? Planning a winter vacation? Good for you. Research shows that travel therapy is real. It can improve mental health and well-being. And speaking of gingerbread cupcakes and cinnamon, I've now got a recipe for you, a gingerbread Christmas. As a holiday baking championship judge for 8 years, Duff Goldman knows a thing or two about gingerbread. So he was a natural to star in the new Discovery Plus movie, A Gingerbread Christmas. He plays Mark Clemens, a food celebrity who hosts a gingerbread house competition that Hazel Stanley sets out to win to save her family's floundering bakery. Stream the movie and whip up some of Duff's gingerbread cupcakes to go with it. So here we go. For the cupcakes, 1 stick of unsalted butter at room temperature, 1/2 cup granulated sugar, 2 large eggs, 1 cup of molasses, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 1 cup of boiling water. And for the frosting, 4 cups of confectioner's sugar, 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese at room temperature, 2 sticks of unsalted butter at room temperature, 1 tablespoon of pure vanilla extract, and ground cinnamon for dusting. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees and line 2 12-cup muffin pans with cupcake liners. To make the cupcakes, beat the butter and granulated sugar in a large bowl with a mixer on medium-high speed until light and fluffy. Beat in the eggs one at a time, then beat in the molasses, scraping down the bowl. Sift the flour, spices, and salt into a medium bowl. Add to the butter mixture and beat until just combined. Combine the baking soda and boiling water in a small bowl, then fold into the batter. It will be runny. Divide among the muffin cups. Bake until a toothpick comes out clean or with crumbs, about 20 minutes. Let cool 10 minutes in the pan, then remove to a rack to cool completely. Meanwhile, make the frosting. Beat the confectioner's sugar, cream cheese, butter, and vanilla in a large bowl with a mixer on low speed until incorporated. Increase the speed to medium-high and beat until smooth. Spread or pipe onto the cupcakes. Dust with cinnamon. Challenge of the month, nuts. I promise to eat more nuts. It's a great time of year to snack on nuts. The healthy fats and dense protein provide extra energy for the busy holiday season. And studies link them to jollier moods, too. Experts recommend 4 to 6 1.5-ounce servings, which is about a handful, a week. Lucky for all of us, nuts are as tasty as they are nutritious. Try them raw or dry roasted, or in different recipes. Then keep up the habit in 2023. Almonds. Almonds are rich in vitamin E, which helps promote healthy skin. Brazil nuts. Their copper and iron content can be a plus for warding off anemia. Cashews. They're a top source of magnesium, great for strong bones. Macadamia nuts. These nuts are full of fiber, which keeps you feeling fuller for longer. Peanuts. The happy hour go-tos are high in muscle-building protein. Pecans. The flavonoids in these buttery nuts are powerful antioxidants. Pine nuts. Get your zinc from these tiny nuts. It may fight the common cold. Pistachios. Their potassium has been found to lower blood pressure. Walnuts. These omega-3 powerhouses benefit your heart and brain. And I've got a couple of nut recipes here. Sweet spiced nuts. Whisk together 6 tablespoons of sugar, 1.5 teaspoons each of kosher salt and cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon each of ground ginger and allspice, and 1/4 teaspoon each of ground cloves and nutmeg in a small bowl. In a large bowl, whisk 1 egg white until frothy. Add 2 cups each, walnuts and pistachios. Sprinkle with the spice blend and toss. Spread out on an oil-rimmed baking sheet. Bake at 350 degrees, stirring occasionally until golden, 15 to 20 minutes. Let cool. Mix with 1 cup of dried cranberries. And then 5-minute almond butter. Grind 1.5 cups of roasted unsalted almonds with 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt in a food processor. Add 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil and process, scraping the bowl occasionally until smooth, about 5 minutes. Refrigerate for up to 2 weeks. If you happen to be having a gathering over the holidays, I've got a recipe here for a nice appetizer, herb and cheese crackers. 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 4 ounces of shredded Parmesan cheese, about 1 cup, 2 ounces of shredded Asiago cheese, which is about 1/2 cup, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh rosemary, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1/2 cup, which is 1 stick, of unsalted butter cubed at room temperature. Place the flour, Parmesan, Asiago, rosemary, thyme, salt, and pepper in a food processor. Pulse until combined, about 3 pulses. Add butter and pulse until the dough is crumbly, about 10 times. Add 1 tablespoon of water and pulse, scraping down the sides of the bowl as needed, until the dough holds together, about 5 pulses. Press the dough into a log about 7 inches long. Wrap tightly with plastic wrap and roll into an even cylinder. Refrigerate until cold and firm, at least 1 hour and up to 1 day. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees with racks in upper and lower thirds of the oven. Slice the dough into 1/4-inch thick rounds. Arrange on 2 baking sheets, lined with parchment paper. Bake, swapping baking sheets halfway through until the edges are golden brown, 10 to 15 minutes. Let cool for 2 minutes on baking sheets, then transfer to a wire rack to cool completely, about 20 minutes. Store in an airtight container for up to 5 days. From the December issue of Real Simple, What to Cook. Rob, pronounced Rob, R-A-B-E is pronounced Rob, is related more closely to turnips than broccoli, but in season is broccoli Rob. This cruciferous vegetable, also called rapini, is mustardy and a tad bitter in the best possible way. Its earthy flavor cuts through rich, meaty, cheesy dishes. Choose sturdy, dark green stems with leaves intact and buds intact. Store in a loose plastic bag in the crisper drawer for up to 5 days. Trim the tough ends before cooking. Boil until tender, then sauté with olive oil and garlic. Use as a pizza topping or toss with pasta and sausage. Fold cooked rob into a frittata, quiche, or bread pudding before baking, or layer it between slices of sourdough with provolone, prosciutto, and honey. I've got a recipe for you, another celebration recipe, pomegranate cheese ball. Blend 8 ounces of goat cheese, 1/4 cup each of fresh parsley and chopped chives, 2 teaspoons each of fresh thyme and chopped rosemary, and 1 small garlic clove in a food processor. Season with salt and pepper. Form into a 3 to 4 inch ball and roll in pomegranate seeds. Add more seeds to fully coat. Refrigerate until firm, about 30 minutes, and serve with crackers. You could serve with your homemade crackers. Now I have an article and a recipe for you about eggnog. This is from the December issue of Food Network magazine. Who wants eggnog? Whip up a batch and say cheers to the season. Eggnog can be a little controversial. People seem to love it or hate it. But the polarizing drink has certainly stood the test of time. Many historians believe it evolved from a medieval beverage called posset, a spiced milky concoction with curdled ale, which then morphed into a dairy and rum drink in colonial America. You'll find eggnog in some new flavors these days. Shamrock Farms sells a pecan pie version, but for the holidays, you can't go wrong with the classic. Give it a try. Before I get to the recipe, there's some tidbits here. Eggnog around the world. In Puerto Rico, coquito, the name which means small coconut, likely comes from the drink's coconut milk and cream of coconut. Serve it chilled and garnished with cinnamon. In Chile, cola de mano, this country's crowd pleaser, calls for milk, cloves, and cinnamon, along with a Chilean spirit such as aguardiente or pisco. There's coffee, too, for a little kick. In Germany, Eierlikör, like its American cousin, this drink is made with egg yolks, heavy cream, and rum or brandy, but no egg whites or milk, resulting in a rich custard-like treat. And in Scotland, Auld Man's Milk. This is the beverage of choice at Hogmanay, Scotland's multi-day New Year's celebration. Some versions are flavored with lemon zest. And now to the recipe for classic eggnog. Serves 4 to 6, by the way. 2 large eggs plus 1 egg yolk. 1/2 cup of sugar. 2.5 cups of milk. 1 cup of heavy cream. half teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, quarter teaspoon freshly grated nutmeg, plus more for the garnish, half cup cold rum or brandy, that's optional, and cinnamon sticks for garnish. Whisk the whole eggs, egg yolk, and sugar in a bowl until combined. Heat the milk and half cup heavy cream in a medium saucepan. Overheat until steaming. Do not boil. Remove from the heat. Whisk 1 cup of the hot milk mixture into the egg mixture, then whisk the egg mixture back into the pan. Cook over medium heat, stirring constantly with a wooden spoon until the mixture is thick enough to coat the back of the spoon and a thermometer registers 165 degrees, about 5 minutes. Do not boil or the eggs will curdle. Strain the mixture through a fine mesh sieve into a medium bowl and stir in the vanilla and nutmeg. Let cool at room temperature about 1 hour, then cover and refrigerate until cold, at least 2 hours or up to 1 week. Whisk the remaining half cup heavy cream in a large bowl until stiff peaks form. Slowly whisk in the chilled eggnog mixture, then whisk in the rum if using. Pour into glasses and garnish with nutmeg and cinnamon sticks. From Perkins.org website, I have some more cooking tips for people who are visually impaired. Tantalizing aromas, delectable flavors, who doesn't love to eat? But before you can eat, you need to cook, and that means planning ahead. Check out these tips for organizing your kitchen to make cooking easier and safer, and you get to the eating part faster. These tips are helpful if you're blind and preparing to tackle a culinary challenge, or if you're helping someone who is visually impaired to set up a cooking environment. Organize the kitchen. A place for everything and everything in its place. Group like items together and store items close to where you'll be using them. If you have multiples of an item, store one behind the other on the shelf. Also, be sure to store cleaning products separately from foods. Be smart about labeling foods. You don't need to label items that are in distinctive packaging, such as a can of shortening, baking powder, or milk. If you have similar milk and juice containers in your fridge, put a rubber band on one to tell them apart. Label different containers that are similar in shape, like tuna and cat food, soups, breakfast cereal boxes, and oils and vinegars. Use braille or large print labels and rubber bands, tactile markers on rubber bands, or a pen friend. Use a cafeteria tray at your prep area to organize materials and contain spills. Anticipate making somewhat of a mess. That's part of the fun of cooking. Locate and take out all ingredients and supplies before starting to cook, so you won't need to hunt for things later. A simple method of organizing is to place all your waiting-to-be-used ingredients and equipment on the left side of the tray. Do the actual prep work, slicing, mixing, and so on the tray. After using an ingredient or piece of equipment, move it to the right side of the tray. When you're finished cooking, all the items that need to be cleaned, put away, or tossed into the trash will be in one place. Use nesting measuring cups or spoons for measuring wet and dry ingredients. Put liquids that you'll measure small amounts of, such as vanilla, in wide-mouth containers. Bend a measuring spoon to function as a label to measure them out. That way you won't have to pour liquid into a small spoon. Transfer dry ingredients from paper bags, plastic bags, or cardboard boxes to rigid labeled plastic or glass containers. This makes measuring, identification, and storing easier. It also discourages kitchen pests like weevils and ants. Keep a wet towel at your prep area to wipe your fingers. This minimizes unnecessary trips to the sink and also reduces mess from touching things with wet or sticky fingers. Play it safe with boiling water. Add ingredients such as pasta and rice to water before boiling. And remember to add a few minutes to your cooking time. That way, you avoid the potential splashing hazard of adding items to water that's already boiling. And finally, don't be afraid to cook something new. Be creative. With good planning and cooking techniques, and good friends who pass along a delicious recipe or two, and are a phone call away if you have questions, you're ready to cook your next mouth-watering meal. Warm hibiscus punch. 1/2 cup of dried hibiscus flowers, 4 ounces of piloncillo, rough chopped, or 1/2 cup of packed dark brown sugar, 2 apples, one red, one green, cut into wedges, 1 pear, cut into wedges, 1 cup of fresh pineapple chunks, 1/2 cup of pitted prunes, 3 cinnamon sticks, plus more for garnish, 3/4 cup of guava nectar, tequila, rum, or brandy for serving. And that's optional. Wrap the hibiscus flowers into a piece of cheesecloth. Add to a large pot along with the brown sugar, apples, pears, pineapples, prunes, cinnamon sticks, and 7 cups of water. Bring to a boil, stirring to dissolve the sugar. Reduce the heat and simmer gently for 15 minutes. Discard the hibiscus. Continue simmering about 15 minutes. Stir in the guava nectar and label into mugs and serve with cinnamon sticks if desired. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Have a great December.